You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Stitch is ready to play.
And Daryl.
You take me spank.
Hello and welcome to... Can you believe it? Episode 199 of The Training Dummies, recorded on February 20th, 2018. My name is Rob, and I'm super hyped to have been this far in this journey. Daryl, what do you think, man? 199. Should we stop now?
We probably should. Like, really. Some people didn't think... Some people told me they didn't think we'd get to 10, so... I can't believe, we're nearing 200. It's just around the corner. It's pretty crazy. I never would have guessed.
Kept going out of spite because of some feedback we got, or if we should have quit or whatnot. But we're here, we're doing it. 199.
We're spite casters.
So yeah, spite casting. I'll take it. I'll do it. I love what we're doing, and if nothing else, I have fun recording these every week with you. So tonight we have a very special guest all the way over from the BlizzPro website and the Arcane Analysis podcast. Please give a very special Training Dummies welcome to Kitchen. I called you Kitchen, but I'm going to call you Sam from now on. So,
okay, either or is fine.
Thank you so much for coming to hang out with us.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's very exciting because you guys are like so much cooler than I am.
you're on something, man. Are you... I don't know what they put in the water over there in Irvine, but we are, I don't know if cool has ever been used to describe.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We've been called the training dumpies, I think.
Or do you mean cool, like cold, because I'm in Canada and it's cold here?
Yeah, right. Cool weather-wise, maybe.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, Sam, I know I gave you a quick little, like, who you are and where you're from, but why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and what got you into gaming and Blizzard and what you're up to?
Okay, let's see, where do we start? I've been playing games since before I was literate. That's actually like how I learned how to read. My mom would be like, we're only going to play the game if you read the conversation this time. So, but
that's a good idea.
Wow, things, right? Yeah. Went from reading video game, words and storylines and dialogue to this. but I've been playing WoW for almost 10 years now. It's kind of wild.
That's nice.
10 years, yeah.
That's a long time.
I would say me too now, huh? Because I started right, I don't know, somewhere, not at the tail end, but like the middle of Wrath, so.
Yeah, I started right before Wrath dropped, so it's been kind of a crazy wild ride that so much of like my adult lifehood has been tied around things related to Blizzard, so it's really, really cool. To the point where I live almost across the street from campus. It's kind of wild.
That's cool.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I can throw things at camp. I don't... Why do you nerf mages? Just throw water balloons or something. I don't know. But yeah. So let's see. How long have I been with BlizzPro? I think about 4 years now. I had originally joined for a podcast called The Edge. And we had a good, I think, year and a half run and then didn't do anything for a while. I streamed casually on the side and kind of took a break. And then I started up Arcane Analysis a little bit over a year ago. And we've been bouncing around every week or every other week or so since then, trying to deep dive into how the Warcrafts works.
I like what you guys are doing with Arcane Analysis. It's not what a lot of the other Warcraft shows are doing. It's a little more... it's introspective, it's opinion, but it's also an educated take on kind of the state of the game. Was that something you kind of like had in mind when you started it? Or?
Yeah, because like I listen to a lot of podcasts myself, so I'm no stranger to what I like and what I don't like. And things that I try not to get repetitive, because there's lots of people that I listen to their show for the personality, not necessarily like the WoW news that they're saying, because I can get that news 16 ways from Sunday.
Anywhere, yeah.
But right. So I want to hear something a little more interesting versus, this hot fix dropped today and this is what got nerfed. It's versus like, how do you feel about that? How's that going to affect your gameplay? And so that's something that I like to talk about a little bit more. Obviously, I'm in Irvine. I'm near Blizzard. I have friends that are game designers. Listening to them talk is always really fascinating. And just being very tangential to that community, I've gotten increasingly interested in game design. I don't want to be a game designer myself, but I like understanding it because it makes me less angry about things that change if I think about why it's being done in relation to the bigger picture. And so I love to know things.
I feel like that could be a whole topic in itself. Like we could go off on that like completely, because what people don't understand is like when, you know, new patch drops, new raid drops, and then a week later, here's a bunch of changes we made or balance changes or this or that. And like people are so like hard on it. Right, like we all love WoW, we all play WoW, but people are so negative and hard and irritable, and I think like they don't see what goes into all the work that goes into it, and the, you know, you change one number on one ability, and it like it changes things for everyone across the board, and that's not an easy job.
No, it's definitely not. They work a lot of long hours and pour a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into creating something that's enjoyable for us, and because like. Sometimes I think people, when they get mad, forget that there's human beings doing all of this. Yeah. And so, like, being here, you know, my other half works for Blizzard, being very sensitive to that kind of negative impact has on those people. You know, some of them take it and it brings them down, and others just don't engage in the community just because it's harsh. And so being able to kind of place myself as a barrier sometimes of remembering they're people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely gives a different perspective. That's something that I think I find myself harping about rather often on the podcast is be nice. You don't have to be happy about everything. There are game changes that I will, you know, spew obscenities about, but that's just me grumbling at my monitor. That's not me taking to social media, screaming at someone, you know, demanding for them to be fired because they nerfed mages by 5% or something silly like that.
I know I've at mentioned the Warcraft devs account on numerous occasions, and a lot of it's in jest, but you know, the internet doesn't always process that very well, and it doesn't always come across very well. So I think there's times where like a kind word goes a long way, you know, and we kind of forget that because it's this generic account that just says Warcraft on it, and you're like, why'd you break the thing? What's wrong with you people? You know, like, and it's just not that at all. There's somebody sitting there really trying to make the thing work, and you're just yelling at them.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the Warcraft devs account. My other half was actually manning that account for a while because he was on a temporary assignment with the WoW team. So like, I know exactly who those tweets were going to. It was him.
Yep. I know. You know.
And sometimes they'd be really just depressingly hostile. And it's like, hey,
I felt like at one point, like I was being sassy enough where I was like, man, maybe I just put myself on some sort of blacklist somewhere. But like, I don't know. Try to even it out. Try to be cool. But yeah, we forget that there's people there and then they have feelings, and whether or not, you know, like you said, they're thick skinned or not, at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want something fun and engaging and that has a good long life to it, you know?
Yeah. We definitely want to keep this freight train going. It'd be weird to think about I don't know. It'd be so weird to think about not having WoW in our lives anymore, just simply because so many of my friendships are, you know, completely derived from that, if not derived from running them into the game themselves, the communities around it. You know, that's how I met you guys. That's how I met a lot of podcasters. You know, I've met other streamers and other content through Twitter or Facebook or whatever. It's just a huge circle of people that have that one common interest. And, you know, you end up finding your best friend or career opportunities or the love of your life. And it's wild to think about on a grand scale.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of like, okay, you know, WoW is just an MMO that genre seems to have kind of, a lot of people think it's run its course, but like there's those of us who still are like buried pretty deep in it, you know, and I have met some of the best friends of my life through that game. You know, Daryl and I started this podcast almost 6 years ago, and we're getting ready to, and we're going to take a vacation this summer together. Like his wife and my wife, and we're going to go on a vacation together, and he lives in Canada and I live in, you know, I live in Texas, and it's just so weird to me that like we're doing this thing, and like if WoW were gone today, like would I still know Daryl? Absolutely, yeah. But like it's like, but like the way that we function and communicate, and just like on a daily and weekly basis, we kind of like just live our lives together, even from thousands of miles away. It's just so crazy that like the root of it is a video game, and it's so crazy that like
yep.
That's what brought us together, and it's turned into so much more than that.
Exactly. It's it's crazy every time I think about it.
Yeah, like you said, you know, your other half, you know, like it's just, it's all gaming, you know, it's all, it all ties back into this thing that we're so quick to criticize, but it's really just a kind of an amazing thing. Well, Daryl, did you have any other questions? Yeah, we're getting all like,
I know, it's like, yeah, that was a good topic right there. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm loaded in on the, you know, tearing up. I feel like I need a hug. I don't know what's going on here.
No, I think I'm ready to get into the main topic. Unless you've got more?
No, I'm good, man. You just stop me now.
All right.
Hey, this is Bunny from the interwebs, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
All right, if you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is Daryl _TTD. And I don't have a special bumper for this part.
Yeah, it's all right, man. We're kind of still, you'd think after 6 years we'd have some of this stuff together.
But yeah, I know. They're in progress.
So tonight it's all about the Mythic Plus, and what kind of put this idea into my head to at least to talk to Sam was a while back we were running, I think it was just not Mythic Plus, what was it, the Time Walking, and we were kind of chatting back and forth, and I know I've heard you on Arcane Analysis a few times talking about Mythic Plus, and I thought, you know, it's been a while since we've addressed this, and there's a lot of kind of myths out there, no pun intended, but how those work, how the Mythic Plus dungeons work, and what it takes to get into one, and what it takes to get into a high level one, and how that works. So who better to talk about that than the gal who absolutely loves to run them and has great level of success with them than Sam. So why don't we just dive into it? How do you approach Mythic Plus as a player? Like, do you have a group of friends that you always go with? Do you pug them? Like, what does that look like for somebody who's maybe never seen it before?
So just as kind of a precursor, it's really funny. Yesterday was the third anniversary of me stepping away from raiding. It was the last raiding guild that I was in, and I did not know how to play this game without raiding. Like, I took a year break, came back, and thankfully the Mythic Plus system was introduced in Legion, and it gave me something that was, easily consumable, short time frame, not several hours, several days a week kind of investment, and still a level of competitive because I love that part of it. Mm-hmm. So I always say that I'm bad. I'm probably not as bad as I say I am. So I'm always really timid about approaching new things or trying to get really, really top tier competitive. But I still try to do some of the hard stuff. So when I first approached a Mythic Plus, I was terrified of it. And I wouldn't do very high level keys, but I had some guildies that were, you know, rating high end, drag me through a 15 key just to get my achievement, yada, yada, yada. Because a lot of times groups, they want you to have that plus 15 key achievement. So they know that they're not wasting their time, especially because at the time, the keys would deplete if you didn't meet it in the timer. That system's since been changed. So it doesn't matter if you deplete your key. It just you don't lose your key for the week.
Right.
So that was a nice change. Now I just try to push the hardest ones I can. Some weeks I'm more involved than others, especially because the combination of affixes has a really huge impact on just success rate. And like how high you can push the key levels. Cause some of them you'll blow through with tons and tons of extra time, and other combinations, you'll be lucky if you squeak the timer by the end. And that's working with, you know, a well-coordinated good team that doesn't flail all over the place. But I do pretty much run solo. Once in a while I'll pick up a healer or a tank friend that I'll run with, and then I won't see them for 3 or 4 months. So I just always jump in and just apply for as many things as I feel interested in. Like last night I was streaming, and right now I'm trying to finish out my world tour of having a plus 15 key for every dungeon.
Oh, wow.
Because of the Raider IO scoring thingy bobber that I have a love-hate relationship with. Because it's stupid that people judge others on these scores, because it's kind of dumb. But at the same time, like, nobody wants to fail, so they want to at least see that you're kind of seasoned to
right.
you know, right. have that level of trust with a stranger. But once I discovered it, I became kind of obsessed with getting good scores. so like, every time there's, you know, a new patch or a half patch comes through, the way that the tracking sites split it up into seasons based on those patches. So every time a new season comes out, I at least try to do one world tour and then just kind of go from there and farm for specific pieces of gear that I want, which usually means I run a lot of Arcway because there's a ring that I love.
So you're saying that you use the group finder to do most of these runs?
Yep. All Yikes. Of them. And like, I'm a little bummed that you can only apply for 5 at a time, because as a DPS,
oh yeah,
there's lots
yeah.
of you out there, so people get the pleasure of being picky. So I just spam wait and, you know, just keep going until I get an invite and, you know, hope that it's a good group. And sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Sometimes people are really, really understanding and chill. Sometimes people are really hostile and they'll rage quit because somebody died to a mechanic or something silly like that. But it's always going to be a grab bag with randos. But if you're persistent, more often than not, you're going to have good experiences. And I know when people do pug things like LFR, it's not always a great experience. But
well, the thing with Mythic Plus, Mythic Plus is a little bit different though, because you know, if you get a salty or a difficult personality in there and they leave, like, it's really hard, almost impossible to fill that slot. Nobody wants to come into one that's in progress, right?
Well, with a Mythic Plus, you can't add another person in progress. Okay, yeah. So if you lose that person, your key is dead. And that's one of the big changes, I think, or big reasons that they spurred the change with the keys not depleting anymore. They just downgrade, because lots of people were getting, you know, screwed out of their keys because somebody had a bad attitude versus just kind of running in and going, doing, you know, the next step down.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by not depleting? Like, what was the change? Because I don't, right now, I don't run Mythic Pluses. I'm not going to lie, I'm intimidated by them, and intimidated by using the group finder for them especially. But anyway, I don't know this change that you're talking about. Can you let me know what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So when Legion came out, when you got your Mythic Plus key, the first time that you ran one, you'd get a key for whatever level that you ran. So, you know, you started with like a level 2 key, and then every time you the run in time, the key would upgrade to whatever level, usually 2 to 3 points, depending on how quickly you completed it. But if you didn't meet the timer, the key would deplete and be useless. You'd have to rerun the exact same dungeon, the exact same level, and you'd have to do it in time to replenish the key. But by running a depleted dungeon, you got no loot. So there was no reward for trying again.
Yeah. Okay.
So when they made the change, instead of the key depleting and you get no shinies, it just goes down. So if you had a +12 key, it would downgrade to a +11. And then, so you could run that +11, you'd still get your 11 loot. And if you did in the timer, then it would upgrade back up to 12, 13, 14, depending on how quickly you did it. Just made it, it removed the punishing aspect of it, because that was the biggest issue, is that people would be more harsh on people that they'd invite to their group and have shorter tempers and stuff like that. Because even though if you completed it, you got your loot and you lost your key, you'd either have to pug into another group or wait until next week.
Right. Okay.
It just didn't happen, I think, originally, because people were just...
Right. Who wants to run a dungeon and get no reward? Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of doing the thing, is to get the shiny, regardless of what it is. Yeah. And especially if you're pugging, pugs want some kind of reward. They're not going to do it, generally speaking, out of the goodness of their heart.
Mm-hmm. There is no carrot on the end of the stick. You're just getting hit with a stick at that point, and it's like not that fun.
Yeah, it's getting beat.
Nobody wants to get hit.
So I will, as kind of a solo MMO player, I constantly sing the praises of the group finder, and I'm not going to lie, it's not always great. It really isn't, but I want to get the thing done more than I care about salty potatoes out in the queue.
That's kind of amazing. I was halfway going into that question expecting you to go, oh yeah, I've got my regulars every week, and we, you know, whoever's got whatever key, and we start off with a 10, and we do, you know, 11, 12, 15, and then we're good, and then everyone's happy, and we all hug and smile and dance in the fields. And like, you're not saying that at all. You're saying you go into some of these groups that are often like, you know, the Bad News Bears, and push through them, and you keep doing that. So like, is that scratching an itch for you then, now that you're not really on a proper raid team anymore? You feel like the Mythic Plus thing is like pretty cool. It's something worth investing in, even as somebody who, you know, may not have a very deep friends list or.
I think so, because my gear is comparable or better than raiding gear. The only thing I really miss out on is the tier sets and the tier set bonuses. And sometimes that really, really hurts in terms of like mm-hmm. your throughput. So mm-hmm. I have, you know, at least tried to pug to get some tier set, even though it's really not great, especially because like right now my item level is on par with Mythic and Taurus. I'm never going to do Mythic and Taurus. I'll be lucky if I get some, you know, nice Warforged pieces out of Heroic, and that's about it.
Well, it's funny that you say that, though, because, like, for depending on what class you are, the tier will make or break you. Like, for me, where I'm at right now, like, 4-piece tier required. I'm playing a Demon Hunter DPS, and it's,
yeah.
like, everything I'm doing hinges around that 4-piece. And if I don't have that, then, like, the item level doesn't compensate for that. It's mm-hmm. it's all about the bonus that I'm getting from that tier, so... I guess. I don't know. You're playing a fire mage, right?
Yeah. The 2-piece is kind of useless, but the 4-piece is really nice. So like right now I have you know, mostly 960 gear. I have one 915 LFR piece because it completes my 4-set in conjunction with my legendaries. Yeah. I got really lucky with legendaries, I think. I don't know. I'm at the point where this is how much I run Mythic Plus and kind of grind for being a self-proclaimed casual. I am only getting tokens for random classes now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I'm at, but I still wag my middle finger at the mm-hmm. legendaries. Really, I like the whole. It's been a difficult experience this expansion. So
yeah, I think Demon Hunters have been one of the more heavily punished classes against the legendaries. Like I lucked out with a couple of good ones that I got really early, which made some people salty since I don't raid and it doesn't matter.
How dare you get a good legendary?
Pretty much. And that's, you know, that's kind of one of the downfalls of the legendary system. Like, I like the items. I think they're really cool. I don't like how we get them and how people treat one another, whether or not they have them. So there are criticisms. I'll be kind of happy when those go away to a degree.
Yeah, I know that looking at the Battle for Azeroth, a lot of that stuff now is going to be baked into talents and whatnot, and I'm really interested to see how that works out, but I'm super, like, kind of, I play so many, I've got one of everything, and they're all leveled up, and they, you know, they're all raid ready and whatnot, but, like, I'm really glad to hear you say that, like, the group finder is a good, valid tool. And you're going to get the good with the bad, but it's like, it's still legit. And here you are at the end of the expansion, still using that tool to pug Mythic Plus. Like, I'm really glad to hear that. That's super cool.
It's exciting. It's as much as excitement as I can get right now. It's actually funny. I kind of started tagging along with a group that clears Heroic, and that's the only quote serious form of like raiding that I've done. Like 4 raids in a row with people.
Oh shoot! You better mm-hmm. settle down.
I know it's crazy, but it's nice to kind of have that. But it's a 1-day-a-week thing. It's not progression.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going in and doing the thing and having fun and kind of rounding out my set, because I definitely noticed a difference between having my 4-piece set and not, because things are dying faster.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that we for a long time were like pretty consistently clearing Heroic, and I feel like this expansion, maybe Nighthold in particular, really kind of changed that for us. The way that some of the tuning was and some of the bosses were, we actually never finished Nighthold Heroic.
Nope.
And since that point it's been like, yeah, there's definitely people in the group that want to do Heroic, but I think some of us are like, kind of don't really care anymore, because it's just like, it's a lot more work, and you're like, nah, I already beat it. You know, like, I don't really feel like doing that progression and that grind over and over. Do you feel like maybe Mythic Plus is a way to supplement that? Because you're saying, like, you've got, like, some pretty high item level stuff, and you're not even stepping into raid. So does the Mythic Plus kind of help with that, or is that still... Like I said earlier, does it scratch that itch and kind of gives you that fun that you were getting from raiding?
Yeah, it does. It definitely does scratch that itch as well as I'm going to get it without. Again, it's I'm a little bit older. My job's a little more strenuous. I don't have the spoons some days to come home and sit and raid for 4 hours. So if I just want to log in, do my emissary and, you know, run a Mythic Plus and do something for 45 minutes and then be done and go do something else, mm-hmm. I can. I still made incremental, tangible progress, whether it might have just been picking up some AP for my weapon or if I got, you know, a sick drop from one of the dungeons that I ran or something like that. There's always something. And that's one of the things I think I really appreciate from Legion the most is everything you're doing always has some kind of reward from it. Some of them are bigger and shinier than others, but I never feel like my time mm-hmm. is wasted. I don't sit AFK in Dalaran at all. Mm-hmm. And I know that's definitely something that I used to do in between raids when I was raiding in different expansions is just sit at AFK. I can go do something and be done with it in a few minutes and be back to go do something else. Or just keep running them all night long until I'm blue in the face.
See, that's my problem is like with all the alts, like it's hard to get into queue for something because like I start going, oh, wait a minute, I haven't done emissaries of my mage or my rogue or my warlock or whatever. And I'll just start bouncing around between different tunes. And it's like, I'm making gold doing that. It's kind of nice, but like you don't ever get the thing done that you wanted to get done.
Right. And I'm not terribly an alt person. I spend 99% of my time on my mage, so I know I'm a little weird in that aspect. So I'm hungrier for stuff that's mm-hmm. meaningful to my main versus killing time on an alt. And I know that's definitely not the case.
Well, and allied races aren't helping any, of course. And that's only going to get worse. But
yeah, I had the leveling itch for about a week, and it's been scratched, and I'm good now.
Okay, so the leveling itch. This show's not about that tonight, but like for 2 seconds, I will say I'm definitely leveling a couple of teams for the allied races, and like I don't even know if I want to do it now. It is like some of the changes to leveling and stuff. I'm like, okay, I've been there, I've done that. I have no interest in dying to 3 mobs out in the world because I just got rocked on my warrior for absolutely no reason. Like I think I'll pass on that.
Yeah. I'm lo and behold, big surprise. I'm not fond of questing. I usually level through dungeons, and I picked up my umpteenth monk brewmaster to level, and the dungeon scaling was not great. It was hard. Mm-hmm. It actually like gave me some more stress than some of the high level mm-hmm. mythic plus keys. And I'm just like, why am I dying? Wow. It's not the healer. I have no buttons left. What's going on?
Yeah.
This isn't fair.
Yeah. What? It's like some random BC dungeon. You're like pulling your hair out. Like,
yeah. So, plus there wasn't a lot of XP coming out of them except for the quest, which was kind of a bummer. Yeah. But I know that they put out a blog post, I think last week, that they were going to address that, which makes me happy because like the scaling is really, really cool. I like it. But if you're going to punish me to do the thing that I like to force me to do the thing that I don't like because mm-hmm. it's been updated and is more interesting for some people, that kind of sucks. So like, let people do the thing that they like. Don't make them do the thing that they don't. I
100% love dungeon leveling. Like, I will spam queue dungeons all day. I will get in there with a friend. One of us will tank, one of us will heal, whatever it is. And I love it. I will do that all day until I'm capped. Like, I love it. And that's gone now. And some of the story and the world stuff is really cool. But, like, that's, like, I just had so much fun dungeon leveling. And that's, like, kind of, like, a bummer that that's been neutered.
Well, it shouldn't be any longer. I don't know when that change is going in or if it already did, because again, I kind of scratched my itch and stopped leveling.
Mm-hmm.
But they at least acknowledged that they were going to make a change to it to make it rewarding again to do them, that you're still going to gain the kind of progress that you would otherwise.
That's good.
So, dungeon leveling isn't dead. Woohoo!
Yay. Let's talk about how to prepare for the Mythic Plus then. I know that a lot of like people who are raiding, you know, whatever level they're at, like take it pretty seriously and you've got to have food and flask and potions and all that stuff. Do you feel like that applies to Mythic Plus as well, or only maybe like certain levels of Mythic Plus?
Yeah, it's definitely going to have an impact depending on what level you're running. If you're gear's not great, but you want to do a higher key, maybe you should probably buff if you want to push progression with, you know, 15 plus keys. be nice enough, especially if you're pugging, be nice enough to the people that you're pugging with and take it as seriously as they probably do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have umpteen million different kinds of food. I spec differently. I have different gear and talent choices for that. And, you know, I have my little rep rune, the augmented rune.
Oh, thingy. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that thing was like 20,000 gold, but
yeah, man, it's great.
40.
Right, but,
that's not like, 40, okay. Yeah,
I think it was 40,000.
Yeah, it was 40, but like, I'm looking at like whatever 16 different tunes now, and I'm like, no thanks, man.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that on 16 different tunes, but again, I'm kind of a, you know, single tune player. The investment for me just to run Mythic Plus, because I can pop that every single time we die, and sometimes mm-hmm. we die 5 times in a 15 key, sometimes we die 50 times. Mm-hmm. Having it be instantly renewable is real, real nice. Yeah. But I will flask as well. Just because I don't know if maybe somebody had good item level, but they're not very great, or I feel like I'm bad and I have imposter syndrome and I want people to think that I'm not as bad as I think I am. So, you know, I try to get all the shiny little buffs that I can, even during like Love is in the Air. I would use the cards and the candies and stuff like that, even though it was like 10 intellect or something stupid, something silly. But yeah. I think it's still a serious competitive thing if you're doing it at the higher levels. Treat it like that. If you don't want to run 15s and have it be really, really stressful, then don't. That's okay. That's one of the nice things, is that you can hit the search for whatever number that you want. So if you're looking for a level 8 key, if you type in 8 into the Dungeon Finder, it'll show you keys for 7, 8, and 9, which is kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that. I usually just type in the... like, you know, Mythic, and then just kind of scroll through the list and see what looks good to me. So
yeah, so there are some nuances to the searching, but yeah, it's, you're gonna get out of it what you put into it. So if you don't want to be super serious, don't. You don't have to. But if you do, then take the time, take the extra effort, because it's still, for some people, it's still a very hyper competitive thing. They're looking to push keys, they want to be competitive, they want to get the loot out of it, that sort of thing.
How important do you think it is to know like some of the specifics and nuances of each dungeon, because I know that some of them have like little things that you can do that kind of help,
right? Again, I'm mostly going to speak from a 15 key plus, where things start to get hit mm-hmm. really hard and the timers are a little bit shorter and that sort of thing, that having a working knowledge of how long it's going to take you to get through trash, especially if it's a fortified versus a tyrannical week. Fortified means the trash hits harder, has a higher health pool, that sort of thing. And on tyrannical, it means the boss hits a lot harder, where those mechanics become immediately deadly if you don't execute them correctly, versus something that you could kind of cheese your way through and just move through bosses. So and it alternates every week. So that's why some of the affix combinations get really, really tricky, because if you have like a teaming week where there's more mobs per trash pack and fortified, there's more of them and they hit harder.
Whoa,
so you actually have to like implement CC and that sort of thing. And as far as like knowing when to lust and when not to, if you're a lust class, that's important. You know,
well, you called it lust for starters, which is a positive thing.
That is awesome.
Yeah, one of our tanks also plays on the other side, and he'll say hero, and we're like, what are you talking about?
Hero, what is this thing?
Exactly. Bonus points for calling it the proper name. So yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So for me, because I play a lust class, I have post-it notes that I will pull out, because sometimes if I haven't run a dungeon for a while, and it'll change from week to week, because sometimes if you blow lust on an easy one and it's going to take you a real long time to get to the next boss, it's totally okay to do it every single boss. Also, I had the lust ring for a while, so I needed to not only watch... So I could use it on every single boss, but everybody else not necessarily could. So I'd have to be careful of when I blew it for myself, so I didn't waste a cooldown on a particular boss for the other team. So I'd have to look at their debuffs and stuff like that.
All I would imagine
that little things that I'm mindful of.
I would imagine some of the folks in there that run them regularly also have their opinions on things. So if you go in and lust at a certain point, they're like, you know, they're expecting it on this trash puller on this boss, then you know, it can be a bit of a conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. There are definitely ones where I typically don't lust on a boss, and I'll get the tank, you know, screaming in all caps, lust on this one, what's wrong with you, sort of thing. So it definitely happens. There's different approaches to a lot of things. I'm still learning every time I run dungeons. There was a Darkheart thicket that I did last night, and I guess it was a carry group. Like, I just figured some dude was carrying his buddy. Some other dude actually paid this guy who was running like 23 plus keys all the time. Like, his rating was phenomenal. Carrying this really low geared dude to get his, you know, his key and get gear and stuff like that. But it was one of the better runs that I've ever run. Like, we were well within the timer, that sort of thing. So you didn't know that it was a carry, as far as that goes. But the trash packs that they were pulling and where they were pulling those trash packs was different than I had ever seen before. And that happens a lot. It's the same thing for like the Mythic Dungeon Invitational that they did for Tespa last year and that they did right before BlizzCon last year as well. There were tricks that it's like, oh, huh, I'd never seen that before. Blackrook Hold, most people will insist and demand that you have an Invis flask. Thank God I'm a mage. I always have Invis to run past the first hallway of trash to get straight to the boss. And skip all that because it saves you about 3 to 4 minutes, depending on how quickly you pull those on the end timer. And you can pick up the trash later on to get your percentage, that sort of thing. But last night I ran through a group that just face pulled the whole thing. And I was screaming at the screen, what are you doing? Why are we wasting this time? Are you ridiculous? What the? Oh my goodness. But it happens. Everybody's going to do something different.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, it doesn't hurt to have that conversation with the group before you start pulling stuff. Mm-hmm. Of, are we going to invis here or are we not? Who's going to get the first interrupt? Right. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like raiding on a smaller scale.
It is. It's kind of a little more intimate raiding. Yeah, where you actually, it's a little more critical that you fill your role, I guess.
Yeah.
But at what point would you say like the mechanics become more important? Like, I know that the affixes have a huge amount to do with that, but would you say like +5 or +10, or you're doing like 15s? I know I got my achievement for a 15 a while back, and it was, what was it, Maw of Souls, and it was pretty tense at the time. Is there a point where you feel like it's the break point? Like, okay, once you hit +10, it's no joke. Mechanics are serious. You cannot jack around with this, you know?
I think definitely at +10, because that's when you get the final affix, and then everything else from there, it just gets exponentially harder. The difference between a 14 and 15 key to me is very, very noticeable. Mm-hmm. And even the difficulty from 15 to 16 starts to get tricky. Now that we're getting into Antorus and we've got the higher level braiding gear and people are more equally geared out versus just starting to pick up like one or two pieces of the highest level that they're probably going to get. Mm-hmm. It's not as stressful to make the timer, but it's still like, take it seriously. Don't AFK, try not to be distracted, that sort of thing. But that's kind of my MO, is if you're going to waste people's time, be thoughtful about it.
I was going to ask you another question, but I think I'll wait a minute, 'cause I think it'll tie into something else we're going to talk about here in a second. So, I don't know. Daryl, you want to get into this part here?
Yeah, so, like, you just mentioned the Blackrook Hold, and I've actually had first-hand experience in it. It wasn't a good experience. And I think it might have been a group of people that I all know, too. But, you know, the invisibility potion at the beginning of Blackrook Hold, and, like, I've already mentioned, I don't run Mythic Pluses. So I wasn't familiar with how this was supposed to go. So I'm not going to say it was my fault. It could have been someone else, but I remember the potion ran out before we got to the end. And then it was just a cluster from then on. Like, the whole dungeon was just a mess because we ended up having to fight all those mobs, but we'd already wasted the time trying to do the invis potion and it didn't work. So anyway, what are some of the other tricks? Yeah. What are some of the other tricks that people might not know about that can help you be successful in these Mythic Pluses, like you mentioned? So the Invis Potion and this Blackrook Hold. But what are some of the other things that are, or some of the tricks that people who don't run these often might not know?
Hug the wall a lot will definitely that and using stuns like Sap and the Demon Hunter one.
The Chaos Nova or the Imprison, yeah.
Yeah, the Prison one. So I know in Darkheart Thicket, it can be really, really dicey because there's those little dryad gals that bounce around a lot and they can aggro not only them, but the whole group that they're nearby. Sometimes it'll aggro not one, but two. So you always want to hug the right side, I think, of that first hallway after you kill the bears and jump up the tree and jump back down. You can bypass most of that as long as you either run in the middle or hug the side. Seed of the Triumvirate after the second boss has another area where if you run through the middle or if you hug the side and kind of wall jump, you can skip lots of trash. But if one person screws up, you're going to pull everything and waste more time than you would have just pulling the trash to begin with. Black Rick Hold has the same kind of thing. There are corners of packs that you can skip if you stun them. Arcway has ones that you can also run around a corner or use Invis to get through. There's always different spots, but a lot of it comes to hug the wall, hug the corner. If you're going to jump down somewhere, dismiss your pet. You'd think after Nomuragon, everybody would know that, but apparently not.
It sounds like you're saying, though, that a lot of these, though, require everyone to be on the same page. So, like, you hug the wall and the hunter doesn't, then it doesn't matter at that point.
Right, yeah. And again, a lot of that comes through if you've run these enough, you either follow the person ahead of you or talk about it beforehand.
Right.
Or that sort of thing, because these are, it's a lot of it's very, very much like raiding, just only five people. So there's a lot more accountability and ultimately not as much time investment. But in the long run, I probably have spent just as much time running Mythic Plus as I would if I was doing, you know, a full competitive raiding team to some degree. But I can do it and not run any for a month if I didn't feel like it, or I can run, you know, five of them every single day. Whatever I feel like. And that has definitely happened where I run a lot and then don't run any, especially if I'm in the middle of my world tours and I burn myself out and I'm just like, you know what? I'm good. I just need a break. Gonna rest my hand.
How much have the Mythic Plus been balanced? Because I know that they've actually scaled with the expansion. If that's the right way to put that.
Yeah. So every like raid tier that's come out, they've also scaled up where if you're running 15s, the difficulty of a 15 is now the difficulty of level 10. So if you're running a 10 key, it's as if you're running a 15. It's actually just gotten exponentially more difficult as the expansion's gone on. But eventually it evens out when you're getting the gear. And a lot of that has to do with just the sheer power creep of item level from gear over the course of the expansion as well. Like, this is one of the biggest jumps that we've ever seen in one expansion. Started out in, you know, the mid 700s, and now we're, you know, peaking 1,000. 300 item level is a lot for one expansion.
Yeah, it is.
Which is why we're getting squished in Battle for Azeroth.
I don't mind the squish. It's a little weird, and it was weird. It was weird when it happened before, but I don't mind.
There's always growing pains, but eventually they get it sorted out.
It's mostly that curve of old content and stuff. Because I remember, like, when the first squish happened, you would go into something that you used to be able to one shot, and it was like, nope.
And it just clocks you right in the face. Yeah, that definitely happens. And it's kind of a rubber banding effect where it gets really easy and then it gets really hard and then it, you know, slowly creeps back up to where you're running the things that you were again. So,
well, was there any other points that you thought you maybe would like to make about Mythic Plus as a player? Because I think we're going to shift gears here a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to run them, be nice to other people. Ask questions ahead of time. If somebody's going to give you a hard time for asking questions, drop group and find another one. Seriously.
Before the run, right?
Before the run. Yeah. I mean,
kill the first boss and leave, you know.
Yeah, don't do that either. Well, if you kill the first boss and leave, you're not going to get any loot anyway, so why bother? I'm trying to think. Communicate clearly. If you're tanking them, please have some idea or be like, hey, I've never tanked this before. And maybe start with a lower key if you're going to do that before you get a little more handy at it, because that's kind of a role of a tank. You ultimately end up being a leader, whether you want to or not, when you're running through these groups. So even just look up some stuff online, like just Google Mythic Plus tips, and there will be Reddit articles and Wowhead posts and blogs and all kinds of crazy stuff. But like, be mindful on the mechanics, because not only do things hit harder and have higher health pools, some mechanics straight up change. Like the biggest one that when I realized it was such a like bonehead moment, the second boss in Seat of the Triumvirate, the Saprish guy, on Heroic, he's got one pet. On Mythic Plus, he's got a second pet, and that second pet flies, and it has a very nasty cast that you have to chain interrupt. You have to be really on point. So they have a shared health pool, so if you're able to AoE, it's great when they're grouped up, but you need to be focusing that caster to interrupt them, and that's a completely new mechanic that you don't see otherwise. So it's little stuff like that of just do a little bit of homework. It's going to make everybody's run easier in the end. It's going to set yourself up for success versus, you know, having trouble. And that's the kind of thing is that strangers aren't as nice as your buddies are. But at the same time, be prepared, just as you should have that same expectation for them. And that's kind of one of the things that I will definitely encourage people to do, is that if you're in a bad group, it's okay to drop group. It really is. Like, I have spent hours running one dungeon just because I wanted to see it through, because everybody was nice. And there are others where, you know, people were using foul language and they were really abusive. And it's like, I don't need to be here. You can let your key deplete and go find another group. Most people, they won't even say a lot when they run the dungeons. When I join group, I always say hi. Even just saying hi will set you up for probably a happier experience. Not saying anything at all.
I like what you said about the tanking, because there's a lot of people that will tank in order to get accepted to a group quicker, or to avoid, you know, sitting in queue. And with the Mythic Plus, tanking is not the same as it is. It's just queuing for a heroic dungeon. There's so many nuances to positioning, to pulling mobs, to, you know, how trash packs work. Like, you can't just like sit over there and, you know, spam your buttons and you're good. There are so many, like, it's important to be on your interrupts, and it's important to get behind this pillar, and it's important to not pull that mob with this pack because it'll just break the whole thing, you know. So I don't know, there's maybe this is a good time then, let's talk you mentioned a website before we started that kind of helped you understand the fixes and kind of what to get into. What site was that? The Mythic?
It is called mythicpl.us. So it spells out Mythic Plus, which is really cute and clever.
I like it.
So, yeah, so at the top of the website says, what M plus garbage do I have to deal with this week? Because sometimes the affixes are very, very trashy. Not in terms that they're bad, but they can become very frustrating very quickly, because like I said earlier, some combinations are really, really easy. You can kind of just face roll through them, and others you actually have to plan ahead, because it's going to impact how you pull from group to group, whether or not you can chain pull things, because a lot of them, it'll have like bolstering. If you have a group of mobs, every time one dies, it bolsters the health and damage of the ones that are still alive. And that will continue to stack until the whole group is dead and you drop combat, and then you move on to the next one. Unless you have a lot of trust in your healer, or you feel that you are a god tank, you need to have that break in between runs, because when you get 15... and I have seen 15 stacks of bolstering because of crazy shenanigans and things going wrong. It's some shenanigans. I've definitely been shrieking at my screen going, oh God, no. Oh God, we're all dying. And just like run and kite things, because I want to kill the thing, but I also don't want to die, but I also don't want to reset it, because it's a waste of time.
What's that Ashara? The Eye of Ashara dungeon, right? Like, there are so many weird little funky packs of mobs that are just sprinting around everywhere, and it's so easy to like accidentally pick up five more mobs, like, and you didn't realize it. Next thing you know, like, they're all just like best friends just taking a crap on you, and it's like, it's like you weren't ready for that, you know.
Nope. Seat of the Triumvirate is also very tricky, like, that, because I play a fire mage. Ignite is really obnoxious this expansion. Like, the way that it deals damage is a significantly better change than what it has been in expansions past, but because it just jumps from mob to mob on its own, mm-hmm. I have pulled things that were just flying over and they would also bolster, and we've wiped because just fire mage things, lolol. Same thing for like seagulls in Ayavizhara. I really hate running Ayavizhara because of seagulls, and I'm always like blissfully happy when the tank pulls the seagull ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the Mythic Plus site, it has some color coding in terms of like which ones are harder than others, and it'll run you through like which combinations you may see. And it'll tell you what's in the US, what's in the EU. It'll tell you what's coming up. If you want to do your homework, look ahead of time, it'll show you a list of like the different combinations that you can see, because as a DPS, you may want to use Prydaz 1 week so that you don't die as often because of explosive. Every time you kill something, it does additional damage if you're in the area, that sort of thing. Or another week you'll have teaming, and maybe you want to change your talents or your gear up so you do more AoE damage so that you're killing things faster because there's more of them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yep.
So, you said that was mythicpl.us, so it spells Mythic Plus. Okay, cool. Well, Daryl, do you have any other questions about approaching Mythic Plus as a player?
No, it's just something I need to consider doing, especially after listening to this.
Well, we have a couple of guildies that like Ron and some of those other guys that are like, man, he does them every week. So like, if you're gonna do it, he's the guy to go with.
Oh, I know.
He's a great tank, and he'll drag you by the hair through one of those things. So
I always offer my services if anybody wants to tag with me. But I'm a DPS. I'm not going to speed up your queue or anything. Yeah. But I know my way around the dungeons. I'll be happy to quote come carry someone if they're feeling not as confident in their abilities, because like running the lower level keys to help gear people up is really, really fun because they just feel like silly mode to me after running 15s for a while.
Right.
Well,
it's a nice break to just have a little more fun.
And I'll do heroic trade runs dungeon
to random sometimes. Yeah.
Like, because the way they've got those withered essences now that you can use to get the upgrade your legendaries or get new legendaries. So, like, I'm running heroics again because a lot of times your daily heroic will give you those, right? I haven't run heroic in forever, but now I'm running those and I'm like, this is stupid. I can go in as a tank, as a DPS, and tank this thing.
Definitely tanked a heroic cathedral because the tank left.
And you're then like, by the time I got
when
this.
We were through most of the dungeon, and it was my proudest moment as a DPS. The healer actually said, I liked the pace better when the mage was tanking, and it's like, I don't know if I should feel good or bad about this right now, but go me.
Yeah,
that's awesome. The light of my week.
That's what some of the lower level Mythic Plus still, they have that feel to it, where you're like, oh, okay, this doesn't suck so bad.
For sure. But yeah, if anybody ever wants to hit me up to help, I'll be more than happy to do so.
Awesome.
If you're a hoardy.
Of course. The proper faction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you don't know what Bloodlust is, then you're probably doing it wrong.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about Mythic Plus as an esport then, because that happened, and I'm not going to lie, because I had dipped my toe in, I had done the thing, I had gotten the achievement and all that, and I was kind of like, okay, I think I might be done with this. And then Mythic Plus, or MDI, the Mythic Dungeon Invitational, I believe it is, happened, and I was like, wait a minute, this is beautiful. I love this. So let's talk about that a little bit. Do you think that's been healthy and good for Warcraft?
Yes, I think so. I love the MDI so much. It's really, really fun to, like, for me, arenas, I'm bad at arena. PvP is kind of the worst thing ever. Like, I'll try my hand at it every once in a while, but I'm just bad. Despite the fact that I've been slowly trying to watch them more and understand them better just for shenanigans while I wait for the MDI to come around. I think it's really good because I know a lot more people that do PvE stuff than I do PvP stuff. And the last Mythic Dungeon Invitational Championship had like 55,000 concurrent viewers. The EU and NA Cup that I watched the last couple of weekends for PvP had like 10 to 15,000 concurrent viewers. So maybe like the viewership will be higher when we're actually getting into like the championship for this particular season PvP wise, but on the daily, like every single time they were streaming MDI, there was between 30 and 50,000 people watching. That's a lot. That's a
well, really I think good. Overwatch League yeah. may have cut into that too. So if it's like in a if it's in an off beat kind of time, it'll help the Mythic Plus thing a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And some people care absolutely nothing about Overwatch, and some
people do. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
So I it's a possibility that the audiences may overlap just because there are people that love everything that comes out of Blizzard.
Yep.
I'm one of them, which is, you know, why I'm giving Arenas a shot again. But just to kind of shout out for the casters that are doing the Arena Championships right now, Zico is one of the casters. He, I think, plays for Method. His technical analysis is amazing. After every fight, he goes over and, like, you know, does the John Madden kind of style of circling the slowed down screenshot of the players of like what cooldowns they have or what they're going to do or why they're going to do this or why they're going to go around this corner. And he's amazing to listen to. It's the first time I've ever really understood Arenas and actually have slowly been able to watch them in real time and know what's going on and be like, oh my god, ice block there, oh my god, right around the corner, oh my god, do this, blow a cooldown, trinket. So it give it a shot, you never know.
Yeah, it's,
in 10 it's years awesome. I'm suddenly interested. But yeah. The casters for the MDI do really good. You know, they're prominent tanks and healers in the community, you know, people that have been doing this for years and years and years, especially Trekkie and Sloot. Like, they know every tank class up and down, left and right, because they're, you know, world first competitive Mythic raiders, either still are or were. So they, you know, have good analysis for why this tank pulled this thing, or why the rogue used a shroud here, or why they blew lust here and not there, that sort of thing. So the commentary has been really, really good. If you've ever run a dungeon, you're probably familiar with the content, so you can follow it along, at least on a basic level. And just, I don't know, I find them really exciting. I hope that's why I talk about it all the time. I want other people to be excited as I am.
Well, you got like Sloot Bag and Automatic Jack and those guys, and they're super knowledgeable, and kind of it's fun to not only watch a dungeon, but like, you know, their banter and stuff. It, you know,
the dad jokes slay me, but they're really I love puns, but sometimes I just have to cover my face and look away.
You guys,
come on. Nice.
Yeah, it's if you haven't. Even if you don't run Mythic Plus much, maybe watching will inspire you to give it a shot. It definitely, I know just from watching, I pulled tricks away. It definitely made me more conscious of gear swapping. Like, I just kind of went in with my raid gear and didn't change my talents or anything like that. But started actually like planning ahead of, oh, I'm going to run this dungeon, I need to AoE more. Oh, there's not as much trash in this one, so I need to single target more. Or maybe it'll be good to use Prydaz here because it gives you the bubble. Or
man, you keep saying Prydaz, and I'm like, no.
That is Mythic Plus. If you're scared of dying, the most powerful tool that you can have is Prydaz, because the bubble on it is huge and it refreshes every 30 seconds. And like, sometimes my damage might be bad, but it's very rare for me to die.
Yep, that's priceless in there, man. If you can keep it going just because you stayed alive, that's huge.
Yep. So yeah, I do things like gear swap in between doing trash versus bosses or from different dungeons. Obviously, that's really hardcore overboard, as I tend to do when I get into things, but it's more nuance to the intricacies of the Mythic Plus.
more shenanigans.
More shenanigans. All the shenanigans. But yeah, I think the MDI, I'm very excited to see it start up again. I think in a couple of weeks, they're doing the open invitationals right now. And what kills me is the starting dungeon runs for those are a plus 23. And while I run 15s all day, every day, and I feel very, very proud of myself, I want to cry a little just thinking about a 23.
Okay, so I did a 15. Like I said earlier, I did the Maw of Souls 15, and it was all right. It was smooth. We made it. I got the thing and achievement, and yay, and I feel good. But, like, I don't know, man. Anything above that to me, once you start saying 18, 20, 23, I'm like,
God,
that's heavy, man.
Uh-huh. That's some hardcore right there.
I'm worried about doing 7.
I don't have the
7.
Fortitude for that.
I remember at the beginning of the...
Okay! That's the really cool thing about Mythic Plus is that you've got a giant scale to pick and choose what you're comfortable with. Uh-huh. You don't have to run 15s if you don't want to. Run a 2.
Well,
if
15's the benchmark. Everybody, you want your 15 so you can get that achievement before the expansion's over,
you get
over,
the
right?
achievement. You also get the Mythic Cash has got the highest... item level output that you're going to get from there. Mm-hmm. You get a hefty chunk of it, AP if you're still interested in farming mm-hmm. the snot out of that. Yeah.
Okay, so, like, but I remember at the beginning of the expansion, I was still tanking at the time, and, man, I think I tanked, like, what was it, like an 8? And, man, my butt cheeks were clenched for, like, a week after that. Like, I couldn't even believe I did that. And we did it, man. We did it, and there was a guild run, and there was, you know, I think Daryl was in there, but, like, it was Halls of Valor? Yeah, I think it was Halls of Valor. And it was before they had kind of adjusted some of the trash in there and stuff, man. And I was like, this is unreal.
Halls
like,
is rough.
I don't want to tank these, man. This is not cool. And we did it, and it was, we're fine. And I don't know, like I said, it was until Mythic Plus came, or the MDI and the actual eSport came out, like, I was, like, kind of done with it. And now seeing it, it's super fun to watch, right? The way they set it up, and it's real engaging, and it makes you think that you can go in and do it. And I think there's something deceiving about that.
I think so. I was in kind of the same boat as you. I was really, really scared of the Mythic Plus at the beginning of the expansion. I would run, you know, plus 5 keys, felt really bold running a 7. And then I did that. I jumped from a 7 to a 15, and I wasn't breathing through that whole run. Everything was clenched. I was terrified. But after that, I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I survived. I only died like 5 times.
Yeah.
I should totally go out and do that again. And then I got hooked.
Nice.
Yeah, now you're hooked, though. Now you're pugging them, and you're like, oh, yeah, no problem. 23? All right, I guess.
One of these days.
Where's your hard line? Where's your cutoff point when you're pugging? Do you see, like, 15? You're like, okay, I'll pug a 15, but, like, that's it? Or
I will put in for 15, 16, 17. I think the highest I've ever completed is a 16, which is I'm more than okay with. Since the expansion's kind of waning and there's less things to grind for outside of, I've got all of my rep, I've got most of the, like, Paragon rewards, I've got allied races at least unlocked, even if I'm not mm-hmm. in the mood to level mm-hmm. them. So I'm back at a point where the most interesting thing for me to do is continue to run the Mythic Plus. So maybe I'll get a little more bold and try and push something higher. Maybe that I should make that my goal before Battle for Azeroth comes out is do a 23.
What was it with Warlords? What the heck was that called? That special armor you got for doing the Mythic Dungeon?
I know there was the challenge mode.
Challenge mode, that's what it was.
And
yes.
then challenge
yes.
mode
okay.
weapons from Warlords. Yeah, so that
Man,
was the,
that would change
the missing
everything.
Link. Yeah. It would be nice if there was a special cosmetic reward.
I mean, I guess you get gear. Like you're saying, you're getting like mythic level raid gear at this point. But
right,
like,
and you do actually get an artifact weapon appearance. I kind of forgot about that for a brief moment. Like if you run a 15, there is another mm-hmm. tint that you get for your artifact weapon for mm-hmm. doing that. So there is.
Well, and the achievement, I don't know. It's one of the balance of power variants, I think, that you get. But
yes.
Yeah, it's worth doing, but, like, I don't know, like Daryl was saying, like, you know, it's intimidating to do, and you're good, you're pugging these, like, you know, getting in there with the confidence in doing it. What's a key thing to help you kind of, like, just push into that? Like, did you have to run a bunch? Did you have to fail a bunch? Did you just, like, go, you know what, doesn't matter, I can do this?
I have run a bunch. I have failed a lot. I have dropped out of groups willingly. I have been kicked out of groups for being bad. I've been called every name in the book, or I've had people, you know, be awesome and add me to their friends list. And I'm like, but I was really crappy in there. Why do you want to bring me along? Half the time, if I'm running a key that I think is outside of my comfort zone with a crappy affix and I don't feel very good about it, I'm just like, oh, they invited me because I bring Lust. That's the only reason I'm here. That's how I earn my raid spot, is for bringing Lust to the group.
Yeah, good enough, huh?
And there I'm like, hey, you know what? If that's what I need to get in, that's fine. Okay. Tell me when I need to do it. But yeah, it's just try and try again. I know my skin's a little thicker than some, so I will be more persistent when people aren't great. But I'm also not afraid to leave if it's not great. Like, that's kind of the thing, is that, like, there's this guilt, I think, that some people have of, like, oh, I'm going to be in this group, and if it goes poorly, then I feel guilty if I leave because it's going bad, or I feel guilty because then these people can't pick another person. But, like, be mindful, be nice, but also don't feel guilty for doing a thing that's in your favor. If you're wasting time in a group that's not great and the people aren't very nice, it's okay to walk away. It really is. There's hundreds of thousands of other people that are going to be way more awesome to group with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good.
So let's jump back to the MDI for a second. We just kind of had a long tangent there. It's kind of the way this is going this evening, which is fine. But so the MDI is, do you see that as something that's going to get more attention from Blizzard, and we might see more features in the future?
I think it's getting the right attention, because we started with a TESPA run. It was a collegiate run. So we weren't having, like, you know, people that want to be pros at this running. And then we had a second invitational that was a lot more involved. More of it was casted. They brought in more talent. Every single broadcast, every single day, they added something new to the UI that made it more friendly to the viewers. So they were listening on social media or on the forums or wherever that's saying, hey, we need to see, it's important to see what spec these guys are. It's important to see what healing is being done, what damage is being done, what talents they chose, what legendaries they're using. Like, that was all stuff that you saw be added. They took the time to show you
everything
you need to know about the experience. So they're conscious of people wanting more, and they want to fulfill that need and encourage people to join in, to watch, to talk about it, to run more, and that sort of thing. So I feel like there's a potential there. Obviously, it was successful enough that they're starting a new season a lot earlier in the year, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I really want to see it at BlizzCon. Like,
oh, dude, I
want to
see
it at BlizzCon bad, because I want to be, you know, shrieking in the crowd, because, like, the live raids are always awesome to see. We haven't seen those for a couple of years. I think this is a much more structured, involved production. There's rewards for it. It's I love it, and I want to see them run with it, and I want to see it grow. And, you know, that's why I talk about it so much, is because I think it's just really, really great. And I want to share that passion with other people.
I feel like there's a lot of room in this space, whereas the raiding stuff and Race to World First, it's like, okay, Method won, and then someone else came in after that, and all right, everybody thinks. Like, this this really, like, feels like there's a lot of room here. There's a lot of room for a group of five friends that you've never heard of before, that, like, that really practice and do a good job. They stand a great chance to come in here and just do, you know, just crush it and do a good job. And, like, that would be super cool to be able to, like, kind of have, you know, this giant bracket of teams and just watch them get whittled down and, you know, and have a finals at BlizzCon or something. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I think it would be great. The MDI that they did last year, I actually knew one of the people on one of the teams because they were a former guildie of mine. So, like, I was immediately more invested because I knew that person was like, oh, why not? Please win. I want to cheer for you so hard. Do the best, you know. So it's something that to get passionate about. Just like anything, just like any esport or regular sport for that matter, it's things that bring to the table that make you want to be invested in it. And that's kind of the goal ultimately for everyone is the more engagement, the more you see it, the better it becomes.
What do you think stands out about the Mythic Plus that makes it like just really fun to watch, or more, like you said, like a second ago, we were talking about it, so it's possibly even more engaging than like the raid races that they had going on.
Again, it's because the format is shorter than a full clear raid, but mm-hmm. you have that still very professional, almost militaristic organization skills of communication. Like, these people know exactly the cooldowns and utility that each one of their each person on the team brings. Like, something that I saw, because of course I'm always paying attention to the mages. Can't possibly imagine why. Something that I saw a lot in the MDI last year was the mages, several of them switch hit as rogues. So if they, the ranged spell casting wasn't useful there, they brought, you know, a stealthy melee. And sometimes that made performance differences between one dungeon to the next. Obviously, that's a little bit harder out in the real world where you can't just, you know, have the tournament style tunes and pick and choose what you want. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more investment in that regard, especially when it comes to legendaries and artifact weapons and whatnot. But it was cool to see and think about it, because it almost made me be like, huh, I wonder if I'd be any good at a rogue if I'm being crappy on my mage. Not nothing ever came of it. It was a passing thought that I had. So, I mean, if you're watching that thing and it seems really cool and maybe you're not playing the game right now, maybe you want to fire up your subscription and get back into it, because this is neat.
Well, the Mythic Plus stuff is, like you said, it's way faster paced, right? Like, your 2 and 3 minute cooldowns matter so much, because they're up almost from trash pack to trash pack. And so it's like this way, you know, bite-sized version of kind of like what we've been used to. And I think that maybe that's what makes it a little more engaging. Daryl, what did you, would you feel like you were invested when we were watching the MDI stuff? Or
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't watch much. I watched like 2 matches maybe.
Damn it, Daryl.
Man, one there's job. So much stuff to take your time, right? There's
yeah.
There's now an eSport for, you know, pretty much every Blizzard, actually every Blizzard IP now, and only got so much time in the day, so.
Yeah, and I'm like trying to talk you into watching Hearthstone stuff and Heroes and Overwatch League, and we're like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
What about dungeons? What about 5-man dungeons in Warcraft? That's a thing, right?
So I didn't watch that much, but yeah, I did watch a little bit.
Go ahead, Sam. What were you
going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, having multiple options, like if I'm going to choose a title, it's going to be WoW if it's an option. Obviously, prior to MDI stuff, I would be more interested in esports from Heroes or from Overwatch. But if both are online at the same time, I'm going to watch the MDI versus one of the others, because I am way more familiar with everything just from being a player. And I think that's a good connection level, because cooldown usage from a PvP style is so different than it is from a PvE. But you can walk in and do these exact same things and have a similar success rate. Obviously, maybe not as a 23 key, maybe as a 3 key instead, but you're still going to go through the same motions and for a brief second, you know, feel like you're one of the pros.
Yeah, that's really good. It's taking something that we all do on a daily basis without even thinking about and turning it into something that is like engaging and fun and competitive. Like, cause you love to root for a team, you know, everything, you know, most team sports are, you know, these guys versus those guys. And they have somehow turned a 5-man dungeon into this deal where you're watching people compete for, you know, like how quickly and efficiently they can do it. And I think that kind of draws out, you know, in us, as viewers, people that like to watch and consume that, and you can get invested in that a little on a different level, I think.
Right. And one of the nice things, because of the affix situation, it doesn't get stale. You're not just running through the dungeons and just face pulling everything. Actually have to change from dungeon to dungeon. And one of the cool things about the MDI is, like, they're running high level keys, but they also throw in affix combinations that we don't see on the live server game. Nice. They intentionally make them more obnoxious, disgusting, and hard.
Jeez.
Well said.
Purely for the spectacle of it, which is amazing.
That's awesome.
Because it's like, oh, huh, I wonder what that would be like. Uh-huh. Here you go. Everything's going to explode and kill you and hit 10 times harder. So,
because I hear like bolstering and teaming, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll go sit on this log over here this week. But like,
it's tough. It is tough.
And they're like, oh, you thought that was bad. Here, we'll throw in one on top of that. It's like, that's amazing. Yeah, well, it makes for good viewership. So,
yeah.
I think so.
Well, Sam, was there any other points you wanted to bring up, maybe in terms of Mythic Plus as an eSport before we wrap it up?
Tune in. If it even sparks your fancy, the more people watching, the more often they're going to do it, that sort of thing. Especially because of the attention that A, they're giving to the MDI, and B, that they're giving to the arenas, it's very obvious that they want to put more emphasis on WoW esports. That's why they're almost every week now, the rewards are better to encourage more people to give it a shot. Mm-hmm. If you want to support it, take the time to watch, even if it's just a VOD, because those views still count. That I might have been at work that day, but I came home and watched it later on. And obviously sometimes the outcome spoilers are out there, but I still think it's fun to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you want to support it, it's important to not just talk about it, to actually, you know, give it the time of day and watch things and maybe throw it up while you're playing the game.
If you like it and you want to see it at BlizzCon, or you want to see it at some of these bigger events, you got to show some love for it. So.
If you love it, you gotta support it. Yeah. The other thing I kind of wanted to bring up is because we're gonna see Mythic Plus in Battle for Azeroth. I know in one of the last dev interviews, Ian had talked about them actually making balancing considerations in response to how people do Mythic Plus. They want to bring back more utility, and also kind of streamline some of the cooldowns so that you don't want to bring a hunter because they can lust, they can battle res, they can do this, they can do that.
Maybe
want to pare that back a little bit. I know one thing that's really, really strong in Mythic Plus is the Blood Elf Arcane Torrent, because it counts as another interrupt. Yeah. They're making some changes to that interrupt, and I'm guessing just as much as it could be a PvP change, it's probably also a PvE change in that regard. So it's interesting to see that this is something that has strong enough engagement from the player side in game that they are now factoring that into balancing the game going forward. So that means if you're maybe playing a class that struggles a little bit more in the Mythic Pluses, they're thinking about you and they want to make your experience better so that you don't have the, well, you need to be an arcane because you have this cooldown and you can do greater invisibility so you can sneak past this trash pack. They want to bring, hey, you're a mage because you're a mage and you're good at what you're doing. So that sort of thing, I think, is really interesting from a design perspective.
Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense with the Arcane Torrent, too, because, like, in a raiding environment, like, it literally does not matter. Like, you know, it's a tiny bit of resource generation at best. And, or, you know, an occasional boss where you need to really be on top of your interrupts. But, like, in a PvP or a Mythic Plus situation, it's a game changer. So, like, I kind of like that they're revisiting some of these things that are super impactful in one area and not in another, and trying to not pigeonhole people into saying, well, you're a rogue, but you're not a Blood Elf rogue. So, like, you know, like, we can kind of revisit, like, and like you said, with hunters, you know, they can do so many things that like other people can't do at all. And like, we shouldn't have to bring a hunter just because they can be res or lust or, you know, or whatever it is. So, well, Daryl, you got anything else?
I don't think so. That was a good discussion there. It actually went longer than I thought it would, but yeah, no, I think I'm good.
Nah, Sam knows her stuff, man. She's
totally.
I try, or I just pretend really, really hard. People believe me.
That's all. Fake it till you make it, and then fake it some more or something.
There you go.
If you don't know what you're talking about, just be very passionate about it.
Be passionate, huh? Well, if you guys have not already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server, and that is at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests like Sam that you've heard here tonight on the show. That is discord.me/TTD. And if you like what we're doing, you want to keep the content flowing, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/trainingdummies. Absolutely no obligations, just more good times.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you got this evening?
Definitely Sam for taking time out of her schedule and her life. And I know you got your whole thing with BlizzPro and Arcane Analysis and IRL going on. So really, really thank you so much for coming to hang out and talk to Mythic Plus with us tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a complete pleasure. I've been looking forward to this since we discussed it at BlizzCon. So it's finally awesome to get a chance to actually sit down with you guys and blab about one of my favorite things.
I feel like we talked about it like super long time ago, and then again, like I don't know, it's like been like in the pipe for a long time, and
for it, sure,
it feels good. And always to Daryl, thank you so much for you pick up the slack and you do a lot of the production behind the scenes stuff. You know, we don't do a lot of editing, but you make it happen, so I really appreciate that, Daryl. And a special shout out to Jab, he knows why. He's a bro, man. I love that guy. He's always a really good friend, and I really love how he kind of just goes the extra mile. So thanks, Jab. Appreciate it, man. Daryl, what do you got?
Let's see. We'll give a shout out to the raid team. You and I both weren't there this week, and the raid organizers weren't there, and they still pushed ahead and got a raid done. So that was awesome. I'm going to give a shout out to my wife. It is her birthday tomorrow, and it's one of the big birthdays. I'm just going to leave it at that. So a big shout out to my wife.
21.
Tomorrow. And then yeah, Sam, a big shout out for coming on this evening. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and you definitely know your stuff on the Mythics Pluses. And I do want to get my 15 done. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet.
Let's do it, man. You commit to it right now. Yeah, exactly.
I can help make this happen.
We'll make it. Yeah, like Sam can help you, man. All right. This is happening. Right. You're going to do this. Whether I'm there or not, you're going to do it.
Soon, TM. And Sab, do you have any shout-outs this evening?
Thank you guys for inviting me on. Definitely want to give a shout-out to my Arcane Analysis co-hosts, Allie and Tanlin. Thanks, BlizzPro, for letting me talk about WoW every couple of weeks here and there. And, you know, just the community for accepting me, for being strange.
I love it. Awesome. All right. Well, before we wrap this up, Sam, where can people reach you if they have any more questions about Mythic Plus or BlizzPro or what you're doing over at the Arcane Analysis?
We have an Arcane Analysis Discord. It's on our pinned tweet at Arcane Analysis. You can find me at KTJNWOW on the Twitters. That's where I'm at most of the time. Obviously, you can always go over to the BlizzPro site and leave comments. I check all of that stuff rather frequently. So I'll be around and listening.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 199 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with Mike. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo-woo!
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Oh, a fan, huh? Well, who can blame you? Thanks for all the love and support.
At patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Perhaps you require more training.
Dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
Patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
Patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?